Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I am blessed. Thank you very much.
Amen. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, Dr. G?
Doing well.
Praise God. We are thankful for another Thursday where we can get together and study God's Word. So we're going to open up, as always, with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly divide your word of truth. God, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that this would be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are grateful, again, to study the Word of God, and I'm always laughing at Dr. G, where he always says, just 1 hour.
Amen.
Just 1 hour.
Just one hour.
The time frame is right, and we just pray that somebody would tell somebody else that there's a good Word going out on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. We encourage you to tell your friends and get everyone excited about the Word of God, because truly, Sheila G., heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will stand forever.
That's right.
And this is our God. This is our biblical instructions before leaving earth. Mm-hmm. And this will guide us through every situation. And that's why we call it T-Nuts. There's nothing new under the sun, because the Bible is relevant in every generation.
Amen.
And every generation goes through the same type of things. Might be in a different way, but it's the same type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important for us to get into the Word of God, study the Word of God, so that we can navigate this journey through life, as our Father would say, this living business.
This living business.
Amen. We praise the Lord for his health.
Yeah.
Just a praise report that he has been delivered from cancer, that his tumors were no longer there.
Amen.
And,
hallelujah.
We praise God. I'm going to run out the door. I don't know about y'all.
I'm following right behind.
but that comes through knowing God and knowing how to pray to God. And
right.
That comes through studying the Word of God. And that's how important it is. And we are looking in the book of Ephesians and seeing how God, Sheila G., Dr. G., what he did was nothing short of miraculous, amazing, that he looked past our faults and saw our need and saw our condition, and he came to us in our fallen state.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Because we didn't have sense enough or the ability, Sheila G., to go back to him.
Amen.
And so in Ephesians, Paul is talking to us about how we have been brought back to the body. And last week we talked about how we get there through faith and how we are saved by grace through faith, which was in Ephesians 2, verse 8, which says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God."
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing that we could have done to save ourselves, but it was God's grace that came to us and that God gave to us. So much as the gospel writer John said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." And so he sets the stage through that and through our faith to bring us back into the relationship with him. But even with that, what I found in what Paul is addressing here in chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, is that the Jewish people who God came through first had a problem, Dr. G, with the Gentiles that God was bringing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing new in the sun. We want exclusivity from anybody else. And God said, "I'm bringing all of my creation back together." And he's explaining to the Jews and the Gentiles how he did that. And so in this biblical doctrine, he's explaining how he did that. So can you imagine in the first century church where you had the Jews who were after the traditional law, and Jesus coming and saying, "Okay, I'm introducing a new covenant, a new promise that's going to bring Jews and Gentiles together."
Mm-hmm.
And folks don't like change.
No, they don't.
Especially when it comes to God and the church.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So he's talking about how we're united in the body, and he has to do that by starting off and letting us know where our condition was. So if we go to chapter 2, verse 11, the book of Ephesians says, "Wherefore, remember," oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
When he says remember, what he's saying, he said, don't forget where you came from. Whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, don't forget. See, that's what happens when folk been in the church for a little bit of time, Dr. G.
Yes, indeed.
And they get one and a half suits.
Come on.
And Sheila G, they get two and a half pairs of shoes.
Uh-huh.
And so now they think they one-up somebody.
That's right.
And they got it going on. So he says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." In other words, they weren't partakers of what the Jewish law required, that the male child would be circumcised on the eighth day, which would indicate him being set apart for God or set apart in the Jewish family of God. That was outward showing of them being set apart for God. But he's saying at one time the Gentiles, you didn't have that privilege.
That's right.
So he's telling the first century church folk, can I say church folk? Don't get it twisted.
Right. That's right. He's saying that all of us started from the same lowly state.
Oh, my goodness.
So we can't say, "Oh, I was a bad sinner, you were a good sinner." We were all sinners saved by grace.
Oh, my God. Dr. G, what is it that in our human condition that we, even though we're just as bad as everybody else, we want to look at them and say we weren't as bad as them?
Well, you know, we think because we've got a little religion now, that has, it makes us so much better than other people.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go back on my former numbers who passed on Rosso, used to say that we're not better, we're just better off.
Yeah, all right,
amen.
Now, all right.
Amen.
Of what Christ has done. But we like get it
that.
In our minds
like that.
That, you know, we think we're better.
But what Paul is rough,
he
man. He said,
like
remember,
mm-hmm.
don't get it to you. He probably had somebody in one of them $800 desert robes.
Come on now.
And probably has some camel sandals, you know, and one of them nice coats. And he said, but you need to remember this, that you once were separated from the covenant or the promises of God.
Okay.
In other words, you weren't in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 12, he says that at that time you were
without
Christ,
hello,
being what? Aliens. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. From the Commonwealth of Israel. So, in other words, didn't have Christ. Mm-hmm. You didn't have the covenant that was made with Abraham. Mm-hmm. And strangers from the covenants of promise.
Hello.
Having what? No hope. And without God in the world.
The hot man.
Come on. Tell me, stop. Tell me what it's like to be without God in the world.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that has to be the most miserable thing. You don't even get it, but to be without God and don't have a good sense enough to know it. I mean, you don't have his protection. You don't have his mercy. You don't have the love. I mean, it's there, but we just don't know it.
Sheila G, and he's telling, remember, you weren't even a part of the covenant people. You weren't even part of the Jews.
That's right.
And you have the audacity now to look down on somebody.
Hello.
Because at one time you weren't even with that part of the covenant.
Right. Come on.
And so now here you are with this opportunity that was been given you by grace. So why does God tell us that we need to remember this? Why do we have to be in constant memory of this?
Well, he wants us to remember where we came from, because otherwise we think it's us. We think we put all that glory and the wonder where I'm wonderful because I'm wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wonderful because God saved me by grace.
So Dr. G, it's a thing of God wanting us to know that we were so far off, but now he's brought us close to God.
He has brought us.
Right.
It's like we was way out in the ocean without a raft.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out into the ocean and saved us.
Mm-hmm.
And here's that word that I love that God does.
But.
That conjunction lets you know that it doesn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not over.
Right.
When God says but, everybody needs to say hallelujah.
All right.
Because that means that God didn't leave you
in that state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a continuation to the sentence that the first part is not my end.
Right.
And he says, but now, oh, my God, that's shouting stuff right there.
Hello.
That's shouting stuff. When he said there was without God.
Without God, you were like this, but now.
But now.
But he's reminding them because they're all focused on the now. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Let me take you back to where you were. I'm going to make you look at the mess. I'm going to make you look at how ugly it is. But. Yeah. I'm gonna bring.
Oh my
but
goodness.
That's bringing to your remembrance too.
Yeah.
He's taking them back. He's taking them back to where they were, and then saying, "But now." But he's still pointing to the fact that the only reason you have the but now is because of me, not
Amen.
Because of anything that you've done.
Amen. And that is a humbling thing, and I think that's what he does, Dr. G, is trying to make it so we stay humble.
Right.
Right.
Right. Because too often, you know, we think we've arrived and. You know, like you said, we turn our noses up at other people, and we become real complacent when it comes to Christ. We stop doing the things that it took to get us there, don't have time for Bible study, don't have time to pray, don't have time to love each other, don't have time, none of those things. And so God has to, every so often, bring us back and remind us of just how low we were. But now.
And in that, but now, he has to let us know what the price was.
Amen.
It wasn't just bought with a few dollars.
No.
This wasn't just bought like we buying a Happy Meal,
no.
You know, the special.
Nope.
But he lets us know that this was bought with the ultimate price.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you were without God. That's what the end of verse 12 says.
Right.
But look at verse 13. He lets us know what it cost. To get you back to God.
Ephesians 2:13.
But now in Christ ye are who sometimes were far off are made nigh by what? Here it is.
The blood of Christ.
Dr. G, that tells me that he needs to let us know that we need to get to the understanding. Like he said, we need to stop half-stepping.
Amen.
We need to realize what it costs to get us out of that deep doo-doo that we was in.
Amen. Because you know what? I mean, it's amazing how from a church we can get to that point where we think we're all that and then some. And as long as the blessings are coming, we
talk
take
about
the blessings. Sometimes we say thank you. Sometimes we don't.
Oh, my goodness.
Most times we don't. And we just keep on going about our little merry ways.
Right.
And something happened. They got back in touch with God.
But then as soon as we get back in touch with God and then things are going good, then it's like, okay, let me be on my own again,
right.
Because we forget the but now.
Right.
We forget what happened before, but mm-hmm. we just want to be in the now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Lord, now that you got me back here and now I'm close to you, now I'm receiving the blessings, let me put you back on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we couldn't even approach God without the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Right.
Didn't know how.
We couldn't stand in his presence uh-huh. without the uh-huh. blood of Jesus, without his blood covering it. And so when he's making this, he's saying, look, we're bringing this thing together. He's bringing this thing. He said, there's no room for anybody to say, well, I was this way or that way. He said it was the blood that brought everybody back
mm-hmm.
together,
right.
Not just any type of blood, but the blood of Christ. And so that's why it's important for us, Dr. G, to study this word,
amen.
To study this doctrine,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes this stuff will become confusing. But
yeah.
when you go line by line
right.
and precept by precept, you can understand, because this is deep theology
right
here. This
mm-hmm.
this is stuff where you need to be able to sit down and talk and explain it so people can understand exactly what's happening, how he can reconcile the Jews and the Gentiles
right.
into one body by the blood,
by
of,
the
Christ,
blood of Christ,
which will give us all peace in Christ.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And that's why he wants us to be unified as one body. It's
Amen.
Not saying I love you more than I
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
I love everybody the same. And
Amen.
That's what he wants us to do. That's why he doesn't want us to be in a church and say, oh, because you can dress to a T from head to toe.
Watch out.
I love you. I'm going to talk to you. But you know what? If you come in here and you have your dirty clothes
mm-hmm.
on,
looking
then
like a bum.
You're looking like a bum. I don't even want to know
time.
Your situation. I don't have time to
mm-hmm.
talk to you because God loves me more because I look good.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
And you know, I find that, especially in communion, you know, it comes to a point sometimes. Everybody's talking. They're doing everything.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to
yeah.
the where
yeah.
I've told them, you know, I tell them, bust them out. Look, can I get your undivided attention?
Right.
Listen
point
to this.
Blank.
Right.
And it's gotten to the point even the babies stop making noise.
Exactly.
You know, and because here we're talking about the body and the blood of our
mm-hmm.
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And without that blood,
we can't make it.
We can't
what
make
it. No God without God,
uh-uh.
without hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why God has to, every so often, get our attention.
Which is why we have communion.
Exactly.
So it's a way of us calling to attention and reconciling to him once again
mm-hmm.
and understanding what once again that we were without God and this is what he did for us.
Amen.
That's
Remember
why
that
we
him.
Have it. Not
Amen.
Just because we want some crackers and juice.
Amen.
No, because we wanted to bring into remembrance what God, what Jesus did for us. And that's a way of just bringing it
mm-hmm.
into knowing, wow, this is what the Lord did.
Because God knows our mind.
Right.
Amen.
My
yeah.
mind be on the other side.
Right.
Who was that song? Your body's here with me.
Your mind.
But your mind's
on
the other
side
of
town.
Church folk.
Amen.
Church folk. That's us.
Wait a minute, Lord. I know we're supposed to be remembering you and having communion,
yeah.
but let me check this text real
right,
quick.
Right.
It might
uh-huh.
be from my boo.
Yeah,
my boo.
We're supposed to meet at Six Flags.
Uh-huh.
Oh, oh.
Meet at King's Dominion. Yeah.
Pose the praise in the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Texas. Love you.
Supposed to meet at the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Picnic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I don't think, Dr. G, and that's why I want to take our time in this. This is serious,
mm-hmm.
serious doctrine that we're trying to explain to make people understand. We were enemies with God.
Amen.
Can we put our, when he says without God, in other words, if we weren't with God,
mm-hmm.
he said if we're not with him,
yeah,
we're
against
him.
Yeah.
So we were enemies of God.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second. If God had never came to us, all of us was lost.
Amen.
Right.
Enemies of God. In other words, we were doing the things that showed us as we were enemies to God.
Mm-hmm.
God loved us, but we treated him like an enemy. Got me stuttering now.
Hello. He showed
can
our
we,
true nature.
Can we
yeah.
see that we were, God was loving us, but while
mm-hmm.
we were loving, God was loving us, we were hating God.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Talk to me, Sheila G.
Amen.
That's right. And we turned our back on it. It's like a child-parent relationship. A teenager parent. That is the best analogy. It's like, I'm going to love you. But even though you're not, you don't want to listen to me, you don't want to hear me, mm-hmm. you're turning your back on me, and you're just downright ugly because you're smelling yourself. Hello. We were smelling ourselves.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. But it was like, how can you love somebody that treats you like the enemy?
Mm. Mm.
That's great.
We were treating him like the enemy.
That is great.
Oh, my God.
Grace and mercy. That's how grace and mercy.
And only a loving God could do that.
Yeah.
Because we don't have sense enough to love each other like
mm-hmm.
that.
Amen, preacher. Amen. And so he said, I'm trying to bring the body together, but mm-hmm. you all don't want to be in the body.
Right. Amen.
You don't want to get along well. They were Jews, well, they were Gentiles, well, they didn't have the circumcisions of flesh. Well, they didn't serve God.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, they didn't know Jesus and they killed him. So it's like, it's division, the same stuff in the church that's going on now. It's division, but God's going to bring
everybody
back together
mm-hmm.
because all of y'all was messed up at one time.
Right. And if you work together in a common goal, you know how much power you can have.
Mm.
Amen.
But you know what, you just hit on something, because in, I don't want to say most churches, but a lot of churches, there's too much competition going on.
Yeah.
And it starts at the top. And, you know, you've got pastors putting this group against that group.
They got
the wrecking crew. My little nickname. And they're putting them against each other rather than trying to join them together.
Amen.
And that's part of what our problems are. We don't know how to fellowship and unite.
Amen.
Everybody got to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about in verse 14. He's talking about a peace. See, there's no peace. There's no harmony.
Mm-mm.
And so in verse 14, Ephesians 2, verse 14, he says, for he is our peace.
Mm-hmm.
How many times in our lives have we tried to find peace in something else?
Amen.
You can go down the list of what you start with your boo. Going all the way down the list, trying to find peace with a job, with
uh-huh.
a dollar, with
Amen.
A man, with a woman,
Amen.
with a house,
with your children.
Yeah.
You're trying to find peace, but he says clearly, and this is what I love about Paul, he just makes it, he says, for he is our
peace.
In other words, the turmoil that we will have, because there's a place in all of us
mm-hmm.
for God,
mm-hmm.
and we won't have peace until God fulfills that place.
Right.
Only he can fit in there. Everything,
mm-hmm.
we try to put money in there, it
mm-hmm.
didn't work. We try to put drugs in there, it didn't bring.
Mm-hmm.
We try to put alcohol, it didn't. Girlfriends, boyfriends, trying to put all of that stuff in there. Religion.
Mm-hmm.
People
right.
come to church, they still messed up because they don't know the God of glory.
Right.
And you can't, religion can't fill it.
Nope.
That's right.
All religion does is that you're religiously doing something every day.
Amen.
You know, it's a habit that you're doing.
Habit.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't know the
ceremony.
God of glory
Hello.
That will transform your life and give you the peace,
right.
then it's just religion. But he said he is our peace. In other words, what we were missing when in the end of the verse 12, when we were without God, God is the one that gives you the peace that says, now I understand
mm-hmm.
who God is
right.
and what he's done for me
right.
and what he brings, his promise brings to me. And so now I have a peace with God,
mm.
which gives me a peace in the rest of the world because
right.
I know God has it under control.
All right.
And there's nothing like that peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding,
mm-hmm.
that's the peace where you don't have to understand. Situation. That's the piece that lets you know that yeah, things are kind of crazy now, right now. But God has it, so I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to cry.
Nope.
I don't have to complain.
Nope.
Amen. Amen.
Nope.
Now, Dr. G, help me. I know this is some heavy theological stuff, but let's read verse 14. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall partition between us.
Mm-hmm.
So what had happened is when the Jews heard about Christ and the Gentiles heard about Christ, they still were putting a partition down in the middle of the temple.
Right.
And the Jews had to sit on one side.
Hello.
And the Gentiles had to sit on one side. But they were supposed to be worshiping Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. G, it's like the cliques that, oh, Lord,
in
that we have today.
Today, I can't sit on that side because he or she is over there. can't sit down. It's going on, same stuff.
How childish is that? That we're supposed to be serving God,
mm-hmm.
and they had on the side of the Jews, the sign facing the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
that if you cross this partition,
watch out,
y'all was going to die.
Hello.
See, that's, again, leaving God out.
Amen.
That's making it about me. That's making it about what my tradition was, or making it about how I was brought up. It's not making it about God. It's not making it about Jesus. That's saying that that's not where your focus is. Your focus is on what you have on, what you look like, how old you are, how young you are, what habits you have, instead of focusing on Christ and what he truly wants us to do.
All right, Dr. G, I'm going to go ahead. How many churches have black folk and white folk in them?
Very few.
The black folk worship over here,
mm-hmm.
and the white folk worship over yonder.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what it was like back during the civil rights, where you had color folk, you had this water fountain for black folk, you had this water fountain for white folk,
mm-hmm.
because they love God.
Oh, yeah.
But they couldn't love God with white people or black people sitting
mm-mm.
next to you.
Mm-mm.
Talk to me, Dr.
Mm-mm.
G.
Nope, couldn't do it. That wasn't the way it was. And when you look at that, we've still got some of the same stuff going on. You know, and it's a shame, because when you talk about God and the fact that he came to destroy that barrier, but yet we continue to build it back up.
Build it back up.
Forgetting all about Christ, who did it all for everybody. And then, you know, one thing when you talk about the Jews got so caught up in the Mosaic law anyhow, and they thought they were all that and a big ball of rice. And then when Christ came and said, well, this is for the Gentiles also.
Ooh.
They were upset.
Couldn't handle it. Had to kill him.
And then here come the Gentiles, and some of them then got saved. So now they think they all that.
Throwing it up in the Jews' face, but y'all killed it.
Hello. So, I mean, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And but yet what the Bible says, we all have sinned. We all. Not the Jews, not the Gentiles, but we all.
That's
and
right.
have come short of the glory of God.
Well, again, it's yes, we all. So we need to put ourselves in the same position. You know, a lot of times what you'll find is if you're going through a situation and, like you said, you may go to someone of your own race and say, pray for me. But what about crossing over that state barrier and saying,
mm-hmm.
would you pray for me as well? I know, like, what Dad was going through.
Right.
And I knew the power of prayer.
Yeah.
I went to everybody on my job that I knew.
If you know the words of prayer, pray.
Yep. My boss is white as that wall, and I said, could you pray?
Hello.
Because I know that he goes to church. I know that
Amen.
He believes in God.
Amen.
And I said, this is what my father's going through. Could you please usher prayers for me?
Amen. And so this, I mean, this is like I said, this is theology where we're saying that he abolished that partition.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he brought us back to the way it originally was, that we were all one in God. And he's still saying today, why do we keep coming in putting up that barrier?
Right.
Why do we have those barriers in our churches? Why do we have our barriers between the races? Why do we have barriers between age? And why do we have those barriers? He did away with that. And so when we look at this in Bible study, it should jog our senses to say, we really need to do a better job,
right,
of being one in the body of Christ,
right,
because that's the way God wants it to be, and that he gave the ultimate price for us to be one body. Now, there's not going to be any segregation in heaven,
Hello.
Dr. G.
Hello. And you're right. And, you know, I often think about that, and just to throw something out, how often have, you know, you got the big churches and you got the little churches, and the big churches and fellowship, little churches, and so on and so on. That's not the way Christ is.
Not at all. And when you look at verse 15, he says, "And abolished in his flesh," is what it calls the enmity or the division.
Mm-hmm.
Even the law, talking about the Jews, are contained in the ordinance of ordinances for to make in himself of twain, talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, one new man, so making peace.
Can't you all get along?
Amen. What did Rodney King say? Can we all just get along?
Amen. Serve one Christ and work together to the, for the same ultimate goal.
Amen. But we abolish that. So there's no, in other words, there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance, there's no excuse because it's been done away with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so because it's been done away with, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we need to be a better job of when you look at a person on the outside, that doesn't influence the way that you're going to treat them.
Right. That's right. And that's so important. And that's one thing that we do. You know, they talk about first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to serving Christ, we should not worry about the first impression. We should look beyond that first impression.
Right.
And then just go forward based off the spirit of being all inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're my age, whether you're younger than me, whether you're older than me, whether you dress like me, whether you don't dress like me, mm-hmm. whether you're the same color as me, whether you're not the same color as me.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be inclusive and have the same ultimate goal that we are here to serve Christ. That's the only way the world is going to overcome all these wars and these arguments and the division in politics. It's all about us and us having our own little mindset. You know how much power people with less energy of being contentious and more energy of in being all-inclusive?
Amen.
Be extremely powerful people.
Amen.
Amen. And like Dr. G was saying, the smaller churches against the bigger churches, the rich against the poor.
Right.
If everybody in the congregation not driving a Mercedes,
right.
you can't be a part of our congregation.
Come on.
Right.
Lord, have mercy. Right.
And then you have the older people with, you know, okay, we need to be traditional.
Right.
And then you have the younger people, why don't they understand it? You know, it's
right.
just, why can't we do both? Why can't we do both?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was hearing something on the Adams show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The question of the day was, is it ridiculous or is it relevant
mm-hmm.
for pastors when they're delivering the word to use some of the street comparisons,
mm-hmm.
some of the street language.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, it was interesting to see some people were like, well, yeah, you know, I'm a really young person, and when
right.
it breaks it down for me, I understand it.
Right.
But then you had other people that were calling in, and some of the more seasoned people that were saying, but yeah, you can't bring all that into the church. It was just really, really interesting.
Well, let's go through the phone lines. We want to ask the question, why do people of God discriminate against people of God? Let's go to the phone line. And when I call your last four digits of your phone number, you'll be on the air. We're going to go to 2122. 2122, you are on the air.
Well, happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well,
amen.
Thank God. In Matthew 27:51, that the veil was torn in half.
Mm-hmm.
So we no longer have to be that segregated sort of mentality. But I do
right.
think with this, race, when you talk about whites and blacks not fellowshipping, especially in this area together,
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
race has a problem with it. It's the main focus on that. And it's
mm-hmm.
a lot of forgiveness that's associated with it. So thank
Amen.
God that it won't be like that upon his return when he installed
Amen.
His system.
Amen.
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 Thank you. All right, let's go to 7022. 7022, you're on the air. Good evening. 7022, you're on the air. All right, they must be just listening in. Let's go to 5904, you're on the air.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm just listening, and it's very interesting to hear you break down the separations on how it took place on the early time in the Bible and what we have now, how people
mm-hmm.
are still segregated against one another. So like Sister Schiller was saying, we just need to learn how to come as one, and if we come as one, we can accomplish a lot of things through Christ.
Amen.
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 Thank you for that comment. All right, let's go to 6326. You are on the air. 6326. Listening in. All right. We're going to go down to 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Yes, Pastor. I just tuned in. I was running late. You're going to have to brief me a little bit on what's being has been discussed. I'm sorry.
We're talking about the way Christ brought everyone, Jews, Gentiles, together, and we're asking the question, why do people of God still discriminate against other people of God?
Like the cliques in the church and things like that.
In the Christian day, we have so many faiths, so many religions, so many beliefs. This brings a division in the Christian family. And they don't want to reflect back to the truth of God's true word. And this causes desegregation in the Christian family. Just like people slam the door in the Jehovah's Witness, that's not Christ-like. I've had many of them to knock on my door. I have never closed the door or not answered that door. In fact, I've welcomed some of them in. We've talked, and we have become friends. You have to know how to act Christ-like and have the love of God in your heart towards man.
Amen.
Towards human beings. It's about a person.
Yeah.
Forget about all this other stuff, because no matter what you think, if that's in their mind, they're going to think it anyway.
That's true.
But that has brought division in the body of Christ. And we know when he comes back, what's going to stand.
Amen.
So you have to hold on to your beliefs and speak out when there's time to do so. And sometimes it's time to be quiet and just listen.
That's right.
That's
right.
But not let it influence you one way or the other, as far as to say, and I've heard people say it so many times, I hate, I dislike, I don't. That's not Christ-like. That's not what the word said. That's not what he did when they went up against him.
Lord have mercy.
That's right.
And we know he prevailed. Yes.
All right. All right, we're going to ask some folks in the studio audience the same question. Why do you think God, the people of God, discriminate against the people of God?
I think one of the things is that it's just the fact that, you know, people just kind of lose sight of what the goal is that, you know, especially in the church, you're a church family. You're one, almost even if you equate it to something like, you know, successful businesses or corporations, you all have to be on the same page, but a lot of people get intimidated by diversity. A lot of people understand that, look, we're not all robots. We're not going to all operate the same and think the same, but recognize that diversity is a beautiful thing because you all bring something to the table. You don't want a church full of elderly people, but you also don't want a church full of young people because they're going to need that guidance. So I think the thing is that you have to kind of welcome diversity to say, look, we all bring something different to the table, different perspectives, whether it's traditional or non-traditional, or if the minister speaking that day recognizes, okay, I've got a lot more youth today in the audience than last Sunday. Let me cater my message a little bit more to the youth. Or if it's a Sunday where he needs to kind of have more of a traditional theme but kind of break it down so that somebody my age can get it, but not saying sister is old, but someone a little more seasoned is a little, you know, can also understand it as well. So I think people have to kind of embrace diversity to say, look, just because you don't think the way I do, or you don't look the way I do, or you don't sit on the same side of the church I do, that's not a bad thing, because you can still bring something to the table and can change my way of thinking, and I may be able to change your way of thinking or somebody else. So I think that's kind of what it is. People lose sight that we're all in this together.
Amen.
But diversity is a great thing, because you're not all thinking alike, so you're not going to all just be doing the same thing, different perspectives, different ideas, and that's how you can kind of mold and kind of go with the times and unify that.
Amen. All right. Thank you for that statement. We're going to ask.
With the segregation and different things in the church, I think it's more of a mindset where you have to be willing to sit down and learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that a state where you're going to get overnight. In order for the churches to come together as one, it's something where we have to sit down, we have to discuss things. The young people have a different outlook, and the older people have been here. Mm-hmm. They have some wisdom and knowledge. You put that all together, then the church can become a unified
mm-hmm.
body where it can work together. Because young people bring in the young people, and you know, older people may bring in older people, but we have to be able to sit down and talk and work this out together to unify the church. Because the seasoned ones are going to go off,
We need to train. That's right.
We need to train the young ones to carry on in the church.
That's right.
And they can't carry on in the church if we sit in there and don't let them do anything. So, you know, we just have to come together as a unified body in Christ and just work together and let everyone know that, yes, we may agree to disagree.
That's
you know,
true.
We're not going to always be on the same page, but we can all work together.
Amen.
You know, Pastor Steve, I was in a situation not too long ago where someone made a statement that we are the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about their particular group. And it was very disturbing to me because it was a very segregational
mm-hmm.
comment. We're the church.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's God's church.
And, number one.
and you can't say that the people that are like you, even if you're most of those people,
right.
that we are the church.
Right.
Even if like you're 90% of people that are like you, if there's 1% that's different,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make you the church.
Amen.
You know?
Because
it's God's church.
Amen.
And we have to be all inclusive. And that was a very disturbing statement
mm-hmm.
to me. And I had to pray on that
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because, you know, you can't beat people over the head to get them
right.
to understand. So I prayed to the Lord and the Lord kind of worked it out because I really find that it's important that we never get to the point,
mm-hmm.
young, old, in between,
mm-hmm.
that we feel like we are the church.
Yeah.
I mean, God doesn't give you that status.
No. And as we study again further down in this doctrine that Paul is preaching, that's where he's saying that the foundation is God.
Right.
And as we go down further, let's go back to Ephesians 2, verse 15, and he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man. So this is a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new man. We're new creatures in Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's reconciled the old things and made it new. So whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, you have been given you're a new creature in Christ.
Right.
In other words, those old things that divided us have been done away with.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are new.
Right.
And we have a new person, a new inner man in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's who we have to focus in on, not the division, but the things that bring us together.
Correct.
And then we go to verse 16. It says, and that he might reconcile
to bring back together
both unto God in one body by the cross. Again, he's letting us know that this can only happen by the cross, having what? Slain the enmity or the division thereby that divided us. So he
mm-hmm.
said it was God who reconciled and brought us back together
mm-hmm.
by doing away with the enmity that divided us or the division that divided us. And that's how we become that one body in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 17 it says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were not. In other words, he came and preached not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, but
mm-hmm.
he came in and explained it to them and showed us not only in word, but in deed, what it took to reconcile all this mess that sin had caused.
Amen.
Can I say mess?
Yes.
All this mess that sin had caused, mm-hmm. all the division. And so that's what we have to, when we get our underwear in a bunch in the church, We need to say God died so we wouldn't have to get our underwear
that's
in a
right.
bunch.
That's right.
Is that a nice way to say it?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be walking too many times in the church. We got people walking around with their underwear in a bunch. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the sitting and thinking, you know, a lot of that is the fact that people are ignorant to the truth. And rather than come to Bible study, come to Sunday school, go somewhere where you're going to learn about the truth, mm-hmm. you stay ignorant. Then we let all these preconceived ideas form within us. And then we say things and do things. I mean, I love new birth, but I can go back and remember the older one mm-hmm. versus the newer mm-hmm. one. And it looked like there's really no difference because you had the older ones that had been there, had one guy in particular. Mm-hmm. When he didn't like what was going on, he was going to rise up and going to take folk out the church. Mm-hmm. It worked. And so fast forward then, you got
right.
the young ones.
The young ones, right.
Same thing.
Same stuff. But he, I mean, if he did all this to reconcile us, mm-hmm. he no need for us to have our underwear in a bunch anymore.
Right.
We should be walking around feeling comfortable with peace because of what he did. And he said, because we're no longer enemies. He said he slain that. He did away with
mm-hmm.
that. And he came and he taught you that using the Gentile. All of y'all got some mess. But I get away with the penalty of the mess, so now everybody should be able to live together because I'm the one that did it. Nobody
right.
can brag. Nobody can
but
say,
me.
But God, nobody mm-hmm. can stand up and say, I did it. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can say, look at me. Oh, we are the church.
Mm-hmm.
Or look at them. Or if it wasn't me, nobody can say that.
No, you can't.
You know, it's not about Christ, though. That's the
right.
problem.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's looking at the own little thing over here.
Right.
But Christ is not in the center of it all.
Exactly.
We're doing it for the wrong reason.
And so now we've been brought near, and now he's going to give us access to the Father, back where we, the creation of God, God's
mm-hmm.
creation, started out from.
Amen.
In other words, he's putting you back to square one where you first started from. And so in verse 18 he says, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is we got to do away with this division. Division is killing us. Division
Amen.
Is wearing us out.
Mm-hmm.
Division is causing us not to focus on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Division is making us hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Division is causing us to behave so bad in the church that is divided. People that are outside of God
don't want to come
because
mm-hmm.
we act like complete idiots.
That's right, and we're acting like idiots because we're focused on us.
Right,
we're focused on how I feel, what I think, what I believe, and what I think should happen, what I think shouldn't happen, and who should do this and who shouldn't do that. Instead of being focused 100%, if everybody had the same thought, if everybody said, "Lord, what do you want me to do
to your glory?" Right,
right,
mm-hmm.
and just kept pointing to Christ. We went past the house.
My goodness. My
but,
goodness.
You know, too, part of that is that within the church, people don't know their place.
Right.
Amen.
And they get then all out of shape with them titles.
Yeah.
And then they say things and do things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know our place.
That's
Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so Sheila G, he says one spirit. So he's not talking about the all these spirits that be running around.
Uh-oh.
You know. And people bring spirits
yes,
in the church
do.
With them.
Yes,
they go riding in on them.
They
get that stuff that's out there in the world and bring it right on in, and then want to tell the pastor what he's supposed
what he's
to do.
Supposed to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Which, had they prayed, God would reveal to them, you know what, I understand that, but guess who? There's only one head.
Amen.
So you can either get in line or not.
Amen. And he said one spirit. In other words, I'm bringing all the Jews, the Gentiles, everybody together through one spirit, through
mm-hmm.
the Spirit of God, so that when he died, he said that he would not leave us comfortless,
mm-hmm.
but
That's right.
Would send us another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit baptizes into one body, into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right.
So we are one, whether we want to believe it or not, we are one. And
Amen.
and he used the same analogy with the husband and wife.
Amen.
The two have become twain.
Amen.
So when you hurt your wife or you hurt your husband, you hurting yourself.
Hello.
Amen.
Remember that, Sister G.
So in the church, if we this group is hurting the other group, then you're hurting yourself. You're hurting the body of Christ.
Amen.
You can't prosper if you keep hurting your brother or sister in Christ.
Right. Come on.
You can't prosper if you're white and you're hurting the black people, or you're black hurting the white folk, or you rich hurting the poor, or the poor hurting the rich. You can't prosper in the body of Christ because he died for all of us and he put us all in one body.
Amen.
Amen. You just look different.
And the sphincter can't say to the nose, I'm more important than you.
Come on, man.
Amen.
Come on.
Because if the sphincter messes up and doesn't work no more,
come on.
The whole body gonna stink.
Well,
that's right.
Somebody knows what the sphincter muscle is.
Right.
And if the sphincter muscle don't work right, everything in the body going to be in trouble.
Oh, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's an important muscle.
Very important.
If that bad boy doesn't work, everything will shut down. Kidneys shut down.
Yeah.
The lungs will shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Respiratory shut down and everything else.
That's right.
Right?
Right. That's why it all works together. And if it doesn't all work together, then you have issues. And that's the same with the body of Christ. If we don't work together, then we're powerless.
Amen.
And we're powerless because we choose to be powerless.
Mm-hmm.
If we want power, then we need to be a unified body.
Amen.
If we want power, when the isms and schisms walk in the door with all those other people, we have to not focus on the ism and schism and focus on Christ anyhow.
I like
if
that.
If things come up against you, you just focus on Christ. Like, you know what? I see you. I see how you're acting.
Yeah.
I see your panties in a bunch.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to go on the Lord anyway.
Amen. Amen. And they'll get over it.
Oh, exactly.
They'll get over it.
Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that God is God said, I'm not changing your family.
Amen.
He's not changing. It's been one spirit and one body.
That's right.
Y'all gonna be family.
Amen.
You get mad with your husband and your wife all your life. It's still your wife.
It's
still your husband.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. And here's something else too. People forget that when we die and when the Lord comes back, he's either gonna take us to that one heaven.
Amen.
Or
send us down to that one hell.
There's nothing in between.
And it's not going to be all these little different hells running down.
No.
And it's definitely heaven is all over.
Oh, no.
One heaven.
No, it's going to be divisions in heaven. Okay,
no.
You can go to this side.
I don't think
you go to that side.
Right.
All the blind people here, all the dark
zip code.
People.
What zip code in heaven do you live in? Or bad zip code. We don't want to live in that zip code.
No, we're going to have the female avenue and the male avenue.
So now he's brought us close. So now he's giving us peace, and so now he's saying, now y'all gonna be one big happy family,
right.
Whether you want to or not.
That's right.
And so that spirit, it says in verse 19, it says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but
fellow citizens.
Mm-hmm.
With the saints and of the what?
Household
of God.
He has one house.
One house.
It's one house of God. It's not a big house, a little house, an in-between house.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not an outhouse.
Oh, my goodness.
It is all one big house.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll have all of us in that one house.
But you light-skinned it. You light-skinned it. You can't be with us because you light-skinned it.
God doesn't even see all that. We're the ones that do that. We're the ones that have those hang-ups. That's why I said the isms and schisms that we bring in. It's like, oh, but you old, but you young.
What's wrong with that?
You're skinny, you're fat. God is like, so what?
Yeah, you mean you got a lot of fat people too?
What?
Oh, that's right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You love the fat boy just as much as you love the fat girl. And the skinny girl the more he loves the skinny man.
Amen. He loves the fat boy, the fat girl, the skinny girl, all of them.
Amen.
Loves them. And we're the ones that discriminate. We're the ones that want to talk about people because we don't want people to look at us.
Yeah.
But if we all look up at Christ, it won't matter.
Amen. Amen. And so he says clearly, he said, you're no longer strangers. I bought you now. I gave you peace. Now you're in the family. He said, now you got to be fellow citizens in the household. And so you got to learn through the power of God's Spirit to get along with each other.
That's right.
right.
You gotta learn to get along.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you have children in your house, I mean, the siblings, they have the sibling rivalry. Mm-hmm. It's like you all just need to learn how to get along, or else I'm going to put you all out.
Amen.
We got to learn how to get along. It's the same thing in the church. You're not always going to think what I'm going to think. Mm-hmm. I'm not always going to think what you're going to think.
Right, and that's okay.
And it's okay. It's not always going to be your way. It's not always, especially if you merge.
Come on.
If you merge,
learn how to compromise.
You better learn how to compromise. Quick. Oh, that mercy. You better learn.
Or you can just learn the whole happy wife, happy life, and then just do whatever we say do.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Work like that
is. What happens is you learn how to pick your battle.
Hello.
Amen.
You pick your battle.
There it is.
The husband let the wife think she's running
and
it,
the wife,
and the wife let the husband think he's running it.
And there's an art to that.
There's an art to it.
Amen.
Both of them got their ways. Yes.
Amen.
And again, it doesn't work unless you have the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. But you're not going to have it your way all the time.
Nope, this is not Burger King.
Amen. So he's saying, you all in the family, you're going to need to get over it and get along.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it. This is what he's saying. He's saying, this is my plan. And then he goes and reiterates it again and says, he's laid the foundation for us to be able to be the church that he has called us to be. So when we look down further in verse 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In other words, he's saying this is possible because of what the doctrine he gave to the apostles, the doctrine that he has given, that the life Jesus led. He said this is the foundation. This can be possible because he laid the foundation. He gave us the bedrock of all the promises that the apostles built upon, that Jesus was the cornerstone that held it all together, that we as Christians can build even further.
Yeah.
If, like you said, Sheila G., we keep our eyes stayed on Christ.
Right.
But too many times we want to tear down and start again at the foundation. Instead of building up the body of Christ, we want to tear it down.
Right. And we want to tear it down because it doesn't go our way, because we want things a certain way. We feel that it should be done a certain way instead of saying, Lord, how do you want it done?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, but in verse 21 it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord. In other words, the body of Christ should be growing into a holy temple of the Lord, but our growth is stunted because we want to get tired of the foundation that the apostles and get Christ laid, and we want to go start over on another foundation, a foundation of me. On some sinking sand.
That's right.
A foundation on me, on some sticks and some stuff that when the storms of life come, going to get washed away.
And then you're going to look silly in the face.
But he said this is the way the church should be growing, based upon the foundation that he's given to the apostles to establish the foundation of that one body in Christ, to build the body up so we can reach the world for Christ. But we don't want to grow that way. We want to grow our own way.
Amen.
We want to go sideways instead of going the way God wants to go.
Amen.
But he says in verse 19, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In other words, that's the only way it's going to grow.
That's right.
If you build upon the foundation that the apostles who spent time with Jesus built the church, Jesus being the cornerstone that's holding it all together, through the power of the Holy Spirit that he has baptized us into the body of believers, and that's the way it grows. But when you do it any other way, it's not going to work.
Amen.
That's why our focus has to be on Jesus.
Amen.
And not on us. If we keep our focus on him, that's exactly what will happen.
Amen. And then finally, in this last verse of chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, it says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
You mean God wants to dwell in and with us, but for an habitation of God through what?
The spirit.
We can't walk in the flesh and do this thing.
No.
We got to walk in the spirit, and God wants us to build. He said, we are the habitation.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're building together on this foundation laid by the apostles that's been laid by Christ, and the cornerstone that's holding it all together. And if we walk in the spirit, Dr. G, Sheila G, if we walk in the spirit, if we stay unified in the spirit, then we can be used by God to be building up others and building up the body of Christ, reaching those that are lost for the Lord.
Yeah.
But this is some heavy stuff right here.
Amen.
This is some heavy. That's why we encourage people to come to Bible study so you can sit down, that you can talk, that you can see, get it explained to you, understand that God has brought us near. God has given us peace. God has put us into the family. God has laid the foundation. God expects us to be built up in the Word and by the Spirit to do His work. Because if we don't get built up and operate in the Spirit, we can't do the work. We're just religiously coming to church and getting happy every now and then.
Going through the motions.
Amen.
But not doing what God intends for the body of Christ to do.
Amen.
Sheila G.
Amen. And that's the bottom line, is focus on Christ. If we focus on Christ, then everything will fall into place, and we'll take that focus off of us. And we won't even focus on the other person, because
Amen.
It's all one goal.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, you want to give us your final comments and close us out?
Well, you know, I was sitting here while you all were preaching, and I was thinking about all of the different churches that have split and gone on to start their own little church for whatever reason, and how many churches have had to go to court for one reason or another.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a shame, because that's not what Christ wants. And that's one of the problems right there. We don't know how to get along for whatever reason, and that's a tactic that the enemy uses
exactly.
to attack the church.
Exactly.
And we fall prey to it.
Right.
And get caught up. So we got to go over here. I got to go over here and start my own little church.
Mm-hmm.
And folks don't realize starting a church is not the easiest thing in the world.
Amen. Amen.
So you got to be on one accord. And
Amen.
It's got to be Christ in the middle of it all.
Amen.
And I pray that one day we'll all be able to get to that point. Amen.
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 Amen. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, again for allowing us to get into the Word, Lord, and see some things. And I pray, Lord, now that we've got a better understanding of that Word unified. Father, we pray right now that you would help us down here, for we all have sinned, Lord. We've come short of your glory. But, Lord, if we would study to show ourselves, we would be so much a better. But, Lord, we're all doing this, doing that. Everybody got their own minds made up as to what should or should not be in the church. And, Father, we don't know the mind of God, because we don't study enough. We don't spend enough time with you. But, Lord, I'm praying right now that you would help us, oh, Lord, to be about what you want. And, Lord, I'm praying that you would help us down here to see in the Word what your plan is. Father, we thank you now. Thank you for these that have come out tonight. And we're praying, Lord, that you would grant us traveling mercy.
Yeah.
Then, Lord, bless those that have called in. And I pray, Lord, that they've been blessed by the Word.
Yeah.
Allow them, O Lord, and us, that if it's your will, to awaken on tomorrow and start that final day before the weekend. Father, we're going to do our best to give you the glory.
Yeah.
And we honor you in praise, for we ask it all right now in the precious name. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Good night, everyone. Pray that we'll see you again on Thursday, next Thursday night. Good night.